Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to the Hub podcast sponsored by Capital Workspaces here in Bethesda, Maryland. We here have our second episode towards social work by students with SGAP leaders. Right now, we're going to discuss International Food Day with Katie and Cristiano. Step into the future of community engagement and sustainability at the International Food Day, a groundbreaking youth-organized event that's set to unfold this May. Miss Katie, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am doing very well. Can you share with the audience where you grew up, what high school you attend, and what year you're in?
Yeah, so I grew up in Rockville, Maryland. I'm a junior at John F. Kennedy High School.
Woohoo! Okay. Is this the area where your family is from, and do you have any brothers or sisters?
Yeah, I grew up around Rockville my whole life, and I have one little brother.
One little brother. Yeah. Okay, cool. Big sister, cool. Mr. Cristiano, how are
Hello,
you?
Hello, I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing very well. And what year in high school do
I'm
you
in
attend?
11th grade, so I'm a junior at Walter Johnson High School.
Okay, cool. All right, so I would like to ask, what about food, International Food Day, or this concern made you decide or helped you to decide that you wanted to discuss this project?
So I was actually driving past Pike and Rose, which is in Rockville, Maryland, and I saw a farmer's market, and I had just finished applying to the, or I just started applying to the SGAP internship, and one of the questions that they asked was, what is one of your ideas for the service projects? And I thought straight back to that farmer's market, and I was wondering, how can I connect the county together in a way that everybody can be reached, and how would I enforce that event? So I thought straight to food, because everybody loves to eat food.
Absolutely.
Myself included. So I thought it'd be a great way to introduce everybody to other people's culture and kind of create a sort of unity within Montgomery County.
Okay, great. And Mr. Cristiano, what spurred you on to make you get involved in this project?
So originally we were presented with like the opportunity to kind of create the outline for our own event that we wanted to see unfold. And I had originally made mine centered around like sustainability and eco-friendliness.
Okay.
But I decided to collaborate with this group and to be a part of this like this activity and to combine both, because I feel like this can be both. I feel like we can combine the two. I feel like sustainability is very linked to food. I mean, in America alone, like we waste 38% of all food in America every single year annually. We waste around, like, I think it was like $400 billion annually on food, the food that could go to the starving. So what I kind of think is we have the food.
Yes.
We have the food.
Yes.
We just got to figure out how to get it there.
Yeah.
And I feel like kind of making small steps and with these community buildings. I grew up in a culture, I'm half Colombian, half Bulgarian. So I grew up in a culture that's really centered around food. I kind of, my fondest childhood memories were always like the family eating food.
Yes.
And food can be really unsustainable in the Amazon rainforest. I mean, recently, in recent years, America has actually doubled 50% in export like meat and beef from the Amazon rainforest that derives from deforestation. They deforest the Amazon rainforest to create the ability to these humongous like beef cattle farms there.
Wow.
That it's just really horrible conditions, not only for the animals, the food's not even that good quality. It's just made so it's more cheap just so they can, you know, produce more, export more, blah, blah. But yeah, so I just think that that's why I've always kind of been centered around sustainability. And I feel like food is a good avenue for that. Like Katie said, everybody loves to eat. And
so true.
I wanted to include a little bit, just kind of show people.
Absolutely. That's great. And thank you for that information. And when you talked about saying that we have the food, you know what I always think about? You should know when they show those food contests, like who could eat the biggest burger or the most this. I'm just like, okay, wait a minute. Not saying that you can't, but we do. We do have the resources in this country. It's just the dissemination of it, of how to get it to people. And is there obviously there is an imbalance of who gets what that I've struggled with. And just to share, like in my younger years when I've worked at fast food or grocery stores, did you know that they do not allow you to share that food with the homeless at the end of the night? I've worked with Starbucks. I've worked at grocery stores. And I was just thinking, why can't we just package like these donuts up? Because they would go in the trash and get it themselves anyway. Why can't we do it in a
dignified way
mm-hmm. and present it to them? But they're concerned with, you don't want to get sued, or which to me is a lesser concern. I understand that with in a business sense, but people being hungry is something that, yeah, we have an answer to it.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I've definitely seen lots of videos about actually donut restaurants, such as like Dunkin' Donuts, or they have like trays and trays of donuts that they just throw away every night because buys it. But it's like hundreds of them that could be feeding people who are starving. They don't have anything. They would really like to have something to fill their stomach. So
absolutely. And if you could partner with a school or a local business, I'm sure that any kind of networking, you could partner to provide that to someone. And that could be a win-win for the business, saying that we partnered with this school to provide them donuts for breakfast or snacks in some way. So I think that not enough heads are put together in that sense to say this is how we can resolve their problem. So, Mr. Cristiano, you're from?
So I'm half Colombian on my dad's side and I'm half Bulgarian, but I grew up here in Silver Spring.
Okay.
But I kind of also grew up between the countries. I go back every summer.
Wonderful.
So I've had a lot of kind of experience with the world and kind of seeing countries. Like they're both third world countries, I can say. But I'm proud of my countries. I'm proud of my heritage. And coming here to America, like land of the free, like searching for the American dream. And I see that the American dream really isn't, it's not really all that. It's not really all that, you know, has to offer. I mean, right now, my generation, Gen Z, we're actually struggling with housing. Like we're not, like right now, statistics are showing that we're not going to be able to afford housing until like our late 30s.
Cristiano,
with the current
sir.
Economy and housing. Sir. And this also goes into our project as well, because we also kind of, it's not only just about sustainability and bringing the community together, but it's also about kind of giving small businesses and small food trucks like that extra, that's the word I'm looking for.
Yes.
The word I'm looking for. Exposure.
Awareness.
Exposure. Yes. Here, that's another word. Exposure to small businesses. My uncle actually had a food truck. Now, he turned into a little restaurant recently up in Frederick.
Yeah. What's the name of it?
It's called Tempo di Pasta. Tempo di Pasta. It's like, he's Colombian, but his dad's from Italy. So he actually makes Italian food.
Oh, a favorite.
Yeah. So it's called Tempo di Pasta in downtown Frederick, Maryland.
Shout out. And I'm interested in what disparities do you see when it comes to food and the way, I'm not sure what kind of government system there is in Colombia, but what do you see the differences at your age between Colombia, your home, and in America? I know he's just like, oh my God.
It's just a major shift. I mean, in Colombia, it's just the whole reason that my family even immigrated was because my grandma, mi abuelita, she worked for a factory that actually produced food. They produced like chocolates and stuff like that. But because there was actually a major economic crisis going on at the time, and she actually got fired from that. And then we had nothing. We kind of grew up in the poorer part of like Bogota, which is the capital, but we were from a little small little kind of neighborhood called Tunal in the south part of it.
Okay.
So we weren't that bad. Like, it wasn't the worst. It's not the end of the world, but it was just kind of like you can barely definitely see. And there's no wasting food. In Colombian culture, there's no wasting food.
Yeah.
Like, wasting food is just like a sin. It's a crime. Like, it's actually a crime.
I agree.
That's why here I come to America, I see how much food is wasted. So much food that you could be eating. And
it's
even
shameful.
If you don't want to eat it, save it for later. I don't know. Just like, I can't stand it. It really bugs me a lot.
Cristiano, you are not the only one. Mm-hmm. I was born in this country. And when I've worked fast food, I've worked in the service industry and hospitality for years. And that is one of the biggest things, because praise God, I've never gone hungry. I've never been homeless. But my heart goes out to those people, because when you drive by and see people asking for things that we just so frivolously throw away, it's irresponsible. It really is. And Miss Katie, may I ask, your partner, Cristiano, he really opened the door up. Do you have any things that you would like to share about what you've seen personally, the disparities in America that you wanted to share?
Yeah, definitely. So kind of relating to what Cristiano said about like wasting food. So I'm from China and I've visited there, China a lot. And I just noticed that if you basically, if you don't start out successful, many people end up struggling and working those service jobs, just like you mentioned.
Yeah.
And it's really difficult for all these small businesses to be competing against one another because they don't have that step up that these large companies have. And it's really hard for them to kind of expand out of their small little bubble. So what we're trying to do is do like kind of pop that bubble and give them the like media that they need, so that they can grow to be larger businesses, because it really truly is hard. One of the like industries that I know a lot about is like the bubble tea industry.
Okay.
So just in Rockville alone, there's probably around 30 bubble tea shops.
And really?
Yeah, there's so many there that they all close within 1 year unless you're extremely popular or you're a chain. So I see that as like one of like the food disparities that happen in Rockville alone.
Wow.
So, it's just like there's just so many industries for and all these small businesses are competing against one another that I think is really difficult just to and it takes a lot of guts as well to try to start your own business and be successful, because I see these owners, they put their whole entire savings in. They rent out these areas and they try to make a living out of it, and it's really hard. And I think that it's really important that we need to bring attention to these small businesses that are trying so hard to make themselves successful and share like the effort that they put into their food.
Oh, absolutely. I think that that is a connection that we can make amongst each other by when you discussed bubble tea. I've seen those around. I've never tried it, but I always wondered what
stuff.
It was.
It's delicious. It's amazing.
Yeah. It's good stuff.
And so I'm not sure if that originated in Asia.
It originated, yeah, in Asia and originally in Taiwan. Yeah.
Okay. So that's like a talking point to get you to know the culture of Taiwan and Asia. And of course, with social media being what it is, small businesses have such an advantage by promoting themselves. But when young people like you make that real life connection and tell people about the disparities, it promotes a lot of small businesses and their growth. But that's one of the great things I do appreciate about America is the freedom and the possibility of growth. It is here. You just got to put work into it, as you said. I wanted to share also, you said International Food Day is anchored in the United Nations 2030 Sustainable Development Goals. The initiative serves as a beacon of progress, seamlessly blending culture, celebration, economic empowerment, and environmental stewardship. So what is the, other than the International Food Day, are there any other food projects or anything that you guys are aware of or want to speak about in the area?
Yeah, we actually were interested in partnering with a recycling company or a composting company that Ms. Joseph mentioned. So at our event, we are hoping to incorporate that business within our initiative. So I think similarly to what Christiane was talking about earlier, there's so much waste that's going on.
Yes.
So we're trying to combine that with our event. So to not only bring these cultures together and bring up these small businesses, but we're also trying to reduce the waste that happens in America, so we can also kind of bring attention to the composting company as well, because we're like, oh, this is a composting company that is helping out with this event. You should check them out as well.
Awesome. Yeah. And as I mentioned to you and Michelle before, Katie, about Vegetable and Butcher is a company that we interviewed last year, and their focus is environmental stability with plant-based meals and nearly a zero waste with 100% compostable packaging. So everybody is being minded because they say we have to live on this earth, so we have to take care of it as well. I really, really appreciate everything that you guys have shared, and especially from your the position of your ethnicity, because it's a connection that we all need to make, to say that even though it's a global issue, really,
it really is
a global issue, so that all of us can work together towards trying to resolve it. Were there any last words that you guys wanted to share about your projects?
I mean, I could talk about what I was trying. So basically, I kind of introduced it earlier when I was talking about the environmental aspect of our project.
Yes.
So more on that. So my uncle, I actually, like, he works for the Zero Waste Europe. So he actually, I got a lot of like ideas from him. We were talking and we were actually hoping to set up workshops, sustainability workshops at the event itself where people can come and they can bring their own bags and then they can give a second life to the, I mean, not own bags, I'm so sorry. Their old t-shirts.
Yes.
And they can give new life to their t-shirts, old t-shirts, instead of throwing them away or donating them somewhere. They can give new life to them to create them into a bag. So it's basically a really simple way with a hot glue gun and some scissors to make a t-shirt into a cute little like tote bag that you can carry around when you're shopping or anything. And also there's also like this whole board that we're going to show them, that one of them also shows them how to make like their own compost bin at home. So I just think that these issues, like, they need to be addressed on like a large scale by like everybody. I feel like these are humongous environmental issues. Like they're here. Like there's no denying it. There's no ignoring it at this point.
Yeah.
And if there is going to be change, we need to start enacting it. The only way to do it is if we work together. We can't be
absolutely
alone.
And I'm glad you brought up that about the reusable bags, and especially since it's made of cotton, rewashable. But get you guys, are you aware that now McDonald's charges for bags?
Oh yeah.
Chipotle charges for their bags. So just imagine, here's my order. Oh, would you like a bag? What? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. What? I mean, that is incredible.
But if you make your own.
Yeah, make your own. But I never would consider that fast food companies would now do that, because, you know, grocery stores have done that for such a long time, getting rid of the plastic and the carbon footprint in the world. And now they have some grocery stores now don't have any bags. Yeah. You have to bring your own bag. But they do have, you know, reusable bags as well. So, you go ahead.
One more interjection, actually.
Absolutely.
I recently actually downloaded this app. It's called TreeCard. It's basically this app that every 10,000 steps that you make, they basically sponsor a tree to be planted.
Loving.
So every 10,000 steps. So I downloaded it the other day, and I already have two trees planted.
Get out of here.
In my name. Yeah.
What's the name of the app?
TreeCard.
Spell
TreeCard.
Awesome.
TreeCard. Yeah. I'm gonna definitely
really
download
good.
That.
You can, if you do, app. There's like some little like prizes and bonuses they can send you. Like, yeah, it's really good
okay.
stuff. And even I think there's a feature where you can link it to your credit card. It's really like, it's not like shady or anything, but you can link it to your credit card. And they basically, every time that you make a sustainable purchase, you get points in the app. And nice. The app
can,
like, yeah, so.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So if a lot of people download the app.
Yay, yeah. We're saving trees. Look at you. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. So when everyone hears the podcast, you can know that the TreeCard app helps you plant trees according to...
Every 10,000 steps.
Every 10,000 steps. A win-win. I'm losing weight and planting.
That's right. That's right.
Oh, that's amazing. Thank you, guys. You guys have... Did you want to add anything?
Yeah, actually. So there's also another aspect of the International Food Day. So we wanted to make part of the proceeds for every purchase that goes... that is bought from every food truck or... like food restaurant, to go to the Melanoma Research Alliance. So that was actually one of the main reasons why I wanted to do the International Food Event, because I wanted to create something, an area where people could purchase things and then donate some of the proceeds to this organization.
Oh my
so
goodness.
We're aiming for around 10-15% of every purchase.
Okay.
And actually the reason why I wanted to donate to the Melanoma Research Alliance specifically is because when I was younger, my dad actually had to get a precancerous mole removed because my grandfather, he did not believe in sunscreen. He believed in traditional like Asian medicine.
Yeah.
So that caused not only my dad, but my grandfather and all of my uncles to develop like lots of sunspots all over their face.
Oh, wow.
And it's honestly something that like it goes unnoticed because people tend to be like, oh, like it's just a freckle. But people really don't know. It's so hard to diagnose because.
Wow.
Yeah. So I actually, when I was at the age of 7 years old, I got my first sunspot laser treatment.
Are you
serious? Yeah. I was very young. I was actually very scared.
Oh, man.
Because it's like, it can start whenever, even 15 minutes out in the sun, you can develop a sunspot. Like melanoma can really accelerate really quickly. So it's really important that people wear sunscreen every single day, even in the wintertime,
oh,
because the sun rays or the UV rays, they go through the clouds and they go through the windows and they go straight on your face or your body or wherever. So that's really why I wanted to focus on that. And that's also why I've been wearing sunscreen every single day.
Wow, since good I was for in
like,
you.
Since I was good in like first grade.
Oh my
so.
God.
You've inspired me. Thank you. Thank
the
you.
The courage that you guys are showing and sharing your personal testimonies and why this is a passion for you. This is just not like a project or an assignment at school. It's a passion. You promoting your uncle and talking about your history of your family and food, and you're talking about your family's health concerns. Thank you so much for putting it all out there so people can really tell that this really means something, so it'll mean something to them as well. Thank you so much. I have developed freckles or moles on my face as well. And now that I'm thinking about it, I'm just like, maybe I need to go get something checked
yeah.
out. Because I just thought it was old age. And as you grow older, things change.
Yeah, there's definitely like ways to tell, actually. I do a lot of research about it because I'm super interested in it.
Okay.
But if you notice that some signs are like the color's changing, the shape of it is changing,
okay.
or like it spreads around or has unusual shape, you should definitely visit a dermatologist and they can definitely like scan you for any signs of melanoma.
Wow, thank
powerful.
You. The students educating the teachers.
I'm telling you.
You guys are incredible. Thank you so much for your time. I know you guys weren't nervous at all. Trust me. You guys did a great job. Thank you for all the information. And please, when you guys hear about the organization ESCAP Leaders or anything involving even the high schools that these young people have mentioned, please contact them to see how you can play your part in any of these social ventures, because it's important for us. Because literally, I know it's we talk about, you know, children being in our future, but literally, they are young adults and they're handling their business. They're really out here putting the work in. Once again, the email address is service@sgapleaders.org and
we will be working on a website specifically focused on our international day. When that comes out, we'll be able to share.
Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you're most you. Welcome.
Thank you so much. Thank you guys, and enjoy the rest of your evening.
Thank you. You too.
Okay, bye-bye.